on a dreary winter's day in 1767, a sad and a desperate mother by the name of Sarah Bender painfully made her way to an impressive building in the London suburb of Bloomsbury. She was holding her baby boy, Charles. She had come to the agonizing conclusion that Charles would be better off in the foundling hospital than at home with her. Now, she understood what would happen. She would hand over her baby anonymously. Neither her name nor the baby's name would be recorded. In a single moment, his past would be erased, his history would be wiped out, and he would receive a new name, and a new identity would begin. But there was one fact that could never be erased, one reality that could never be altered. Sarah Bender would always be that baby's mother. He would always be her child. You cannot erase DNA. You cannot substitute who you were created to be. And there would be one connection. There would be one small link, one mark of identification that would be left behind. A few weeks ago, Joyce and I had the privilege of visiting Williamsburg. We were planning for the 17th annual Bible study field trip that will take place in May. Joyce was attending a workshop one morning, and I was visiting the museums of Williamsburg. Now, I love museums. I could go to Washington and just spend days in the Smithsonian's. The museum at Williamsburg is a pleasant surprise. It is an exceptional museum. They have an amazing collection of early American paintings and furniture and artifacts. As I was just kind of browsing through the museum that morning, I was not prepared for what I was about to experience. With the exception of the Holocaust museums in both Jerusalem and in Washington, nothing has ever affected me in a museum the same way that I was affected that morning when I saw a traveling exhibit titled Threads of Feeling. And as soon as Joyce got out of the workshop, I said, "There is something that you must see." The Foundling Hospital of London existed from 1741 to 1760. They received over 16,000 babies. Now, while one might think that most of these babies were illegitimate and given up for reasons of convenience, that was simply not the case. The great majority of these babies came from mothers who loved their child, but due to poverty, unemployment, disease, death, or other circumstances, simply could not provide for them. To give up their child was agonizing for most of these mothers, but it was also a sacrificial act of love, because the mothers recognized, as Sarah Bender recognized, the only chance their baby would have at a better life, and in some cases, the only chance their baby would have to survive, would be to give them up and to leave them at the Foundling Hospital. But their decision was not irrevocable. While the nameless mothers gave away their babies, and they knew that the baby would receive a new name, a new identity, the mothers, and only the mothers, always had the option of returning to reclaim their child. But since this process was anonymous, they had to come up with a system. They had to come up with a plan for identification. And so the hospital requested that when the mothers left the babies, they pin some type of identifying token to the child, some type of matching material evidence that in the event their circumstances changed, they could be reunited. Now, there were many of the mothers that just ignored this request. They left their babies, and they turned and walked away, never to return. But over 5,000 mothers, mothers who loved their babies, mothers who were in anguish as they walked away from the hospital, they left a material token of identification in the hope that one day their circumstances would improve, one day life would be better, and one day they could be reunited with their child. The majority of these identifying tokens were pieces of fabric. And there were all different types of fabric: calico, flannel, gingham, satin, many in the forms of ribbons. The hospital promised that they would take great care for the preservation of these tokens. And the hospital was true to its word. For you see, these tokens now comprise this exhibit that is known as Threads of Feeling. As Joyce and I walked through the exhibit that day, and many of you will have the opportunity to do that when we go to Williamsburg in May, I was filled with emotion. Every token, every fabric represented a desperate mother who loved her child and who lived in the hope that one day they would be reunited. They were forbidden to give a name, but there were many who found ways of smuggling the name past the admitting clerk. Some would write the name in a hidden place on the fabric. Others would stitch the initials of the child, some so shaky that it's impossible to decipher. There were others who stuck with the rules, but they came up with elaborate patterns to ensure that no one would ever mistake their child with another. There was one who cut the child's shirt in half, leaving one, keeping the other. Another deposited a sleeve with the baby and kept the other. Most mothers employed a language of color and symbol to express their complicated feelings. You'll see buds, flowers, and acorns that hint at a beautiful life that would blossom in the future. Others would have birds and butterflies that would symbolize the fact that they were setting their child free to rise above the circumstances that they find themselves in. But more than anything else, there were hearts, all kind of hearts, hearts in every form, every fabric, every shape, hearts of love, hearts of longing, hearts of hope. The few mothers who did return to reclaim their children would bring the other half of the fabric with them so that it could be matched with the fabric that the hospital had on file. And once the fabric matched, there was no doubt that the child belonged to them. The Threads of Hope is a poignant and a powerful display of the love of a mother for her child. And it's also a tragic reminder of the circumstances of life that often force the separation of a mother from her child. But more than anything else, Threads of Feeling contain symbols of hope that one day my circumstances will improve. One day my child will blossom and live. One day life will be full of joy and love and gladness, and we will be together again. When God created the heavens and the earth, He took a tremendous risk For rather than create a programmed and carefully scripted world that would operate kind of like a seamless computer program, rather than create a perfect world that was perfect only because it had no other option, God took the greatest risk of all infinity and He created humanity in His own image. Now, this scripture passage that Connie read for us this morning is described by theologian Helmut Thielicke as the great risk of creation. For to be created in the image of God means that in many ways we are like God, especially in our ability to think and to reason and to make decisions on our own. We have creative potential, even as God has. We have the potential to grow and to develop, to live and to love, to offer redemption and reconciliation. We have the option to enrich our community, to make our world a better place for others, and through our gifts and services to bless the lives of those who are less fortunate. But we also have the potential to withdraw. We have the potential to retreat. We have the potential to build walls of selfishness around our existence and to oppress and to mistreat and to inflict harm on the lives of others. When our loving God, like a mother carrying an infant in her arms, when He left us at the door of creation, not knowing what the outcome would be, it was an agonizing and a heart-wrenching and a risky decision. But just as these mothers knew the only chance that their child had at a better life was to take their children to the hospital, God knew that this was the only chance humanity had to truly discover love and joy and to experience life as it was created to be. But we all know the story. When God left us at the door of creation, things started to decline. We became more interested in what we wanted than what God wanted for us. We selfishly ignored the boundaries that God established, foolishly believing that we could create our own paradise and that we could find joy and happiness in ways that God never intended. And so we strayed away from God. We forgot who we were. We forgot our name. We forgot the fact that we are children of God. We established a new life and a new identity apart from God. And when it came crashing down, we blamed others for our failure. And we oppressed those who were weaker, those who were less fortunate, by our intentions that were only self-serving. But even in spite of all of that, there was something deep within all of us, embedded within our very being, and that is a token of identification that was left by a loving God, a mark, a complex and a hidden pattern of identity, the image of God. No matter what we've done, no matter how far away we have strayed, no matter how self-serving and hurtful our lives have been, we all contain the image of God. We belong to God. We are His. But we are never to discover love and joy and fulfillment and promise in life until we are reunited with Him. I asked Connie to read this passage in the first chapter of Romans because Paul is talking about the wickedness in the world. And he's talking about people who say, well, we don't know anything about God. We don't have any moral boundaries. But what Paul is saying is that even people who have never heard the name of God, even people who have never known of the existence of Jesus, there is something within them, According to Paul, it is this invisible nature that is clearly perceived in all of creation. It is God's eternal power and His deity. It is the very DNA of God that is in every human being. And it is only when we discover this token of identification embedded within each of us, it is only when we discover who we are that we can experience freedom. St. Augustine said, true freedom is not found in moving away from the image of God, but in living it out. It was almost a decade after Sarah Bender left her baby boy in the arms of a nurse at the Foundling Hospital and walked away that she returned. With a loud knock at the door, when the clerk opened the door, there was Sarah Bender. And she was holding this extraordinary piece of elaborate patchwork made up of bits of printed fabric. There was a heart that was outlined with red thread. They took the patchwork and they matched it to the other identical half that had been carefully filed 10 years before. And then they went, and they found a boy. A 10-year-old boy. A handsome young boy whose name was Benjamin, but while he never knew it, his birth name was Charles. And they walked him to the front door, where his mother opened her arms and welcomed her son back home. Generations and generations after God left us at the front door of creation, there was a loud clasp of thunder, and the earth shook as a man took his last agonizing, dying breath in a terrifying crucifixion outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And 3 days later, the earth shook again, and the stone was rolled away, and what had been the darkest and most desperate of circumstances became the most unbelievable, when darkness was transformed into light and death was redeemed by life. And emerging from the tomb, the risen Christ held an elaborate and an elegant patchwork of love with the threads of feeling that were proclaimed by the prophets, preserved by the scribed, and hoped for all of humanity. You see, it was the perfect match for the DNA that was found within all of us. That perfect match was the DNA of love. For we belong to God. We may have strayed away. We may have tarnished that image. We may have rebelled against our creative nature. But now we know that no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter how dark your situation or the circumstances of your life, there is no doubt that you are a child of God. And Jesus is standing there with this elaborate patchwork of love and redemption and grace with His arms open, ready to receive His children and welcome them home. Threads of feeling that intersect in every part of life's journey. But it is only when we find the Christ, it is only when we experience His love, that we truly find freedom and redemption.